does the world say that Jesus is? The larger and more pressing question is, who do you say he is? There are many answers you could give, but only one truth that leads to life. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a great message on the person of Christ and the truth of his unique place in all of creation. It's a message of hope in a world gone mad. So here is Pastor Jim.
Luke 9, beginning in the 18th verse. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day raised." Oh, Father, Lord, as we study in this text today, I ask you, Lord, to use me to speak to these who are here. Do not allow my sinfulness, Lord, to hinder your word, but allow your word to go forth and to bring back fruit that is 40 and 60 and 80 and 100-fold more. Oh, Father, allow your word to move those people who will hear this message and to move them to you. I thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. So last week, we saw Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. We talked about how it was just the men. It was plus women and children. I said the estimate was usually somewhere between 10 and 15,000. Listening to MacArthur this week, he said it was 25,000. Whatever it was a lot of people he fed, wasn't it? That is his largest miracle that we've seen. That is the largest number of people impacted by his miracle that we have seen. And this is also him bringing to an end his Galilean ministry. For 2.5 years, he has served the Father in Galilee. Remember, he says everything that he does is what he's seen from the Father. So he served the Father's ministry in Galilee. And now he's going to be heading towards Jerusalem and heading towards, ultimately, the cross. As they have traveled, they're on the mountainside, Mount Hermon. They come to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi has a number of things about that area that stand out. One, the Temple of Pan is there. Do we know who Pan is, the mythical god Pan? Pan was the half-man, half-goat god. He was considered to be the god of fertility and nature. At his temple, which was located in the side of the mountain, there was a cave, a huge temple was built. There would be sacrifices of goats, both baby and adult. There would be sacrifices of sheep, both baby sheep and adults. And I say it that way because many times it says that kids were sacrificed there. When it's talking about the kids that were sacrificed there, it's talking about the baby goats. So I wanted to make sure that that's what was understood. What they would do is there was a huge crevice inside of the cave of Pan, and they would take their sacrifice and they would throw it into this crevice. And as the sacrifice would go to the bottom, there was a river down there. They would leave the temple, the cave of Pan. They'd come around on the back side, and the river flowed out from the mountain. If their sacrifice came out, they assumed that their sacrifice had been rejected by Pan. Okay? Now remember, this is false god. This is false god. People hoarded to these false gods, just like today, don't they? They seek out these false gods, and they go to them, and they look to give their sacrifices to those false gods. And make no mistake, they may not be throwing goats into a crack in a cave today, but they are still sacrificing to false gods. And that sacrifice does include the sacrifice of children and abortion. Another name for Caesarea Philippi and this temple is the Gates of Hell. That is the name that's given to this location, the Gates of Hell. Caesarea Philippi Well, it was, of course, named after Caesar, the Caesarea, but there was already a Caesarea. So Philip added his name to the inn to give himself a little notoriety, as he also honored. So that's where the name comes from. It appears in the scriptures a couple of other times under other names, but that wasn't important to today's message. So he comes with his disciples. I don't know how many disciples are with him at this time. Remember, the crowds continued to follow him because of everything he was doing and all the miracles, and they were excited to see it. And so the crowds are following him, and of course the 12 and those primary disciples, and they come to this place, and it says that Jesus is praying alone. The disciples were with him. So clearly Jesus had taken time out. Remember we're in the garden, he said, "You stay here and watch and pray while I go here and pray." I would assume it was something along that same line where they're there, but he says, "I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray." Prayer was such an important part of who Jesus is. Jesus did not need to pray for anything for himself, okay? The communication between him and the Father was open and clear, and he was perfect. He had no need, even in his humanity. Like Paul said, I've learned in much and in little. Jesus was satisfied in who he is. We could sure learn from that, couldn't we? It's hard to be satisfied sometimes in who we are, what we look like, what we act like, where we live, what we drive. We could just go on and on with the list of things that we are unsatisfied, couldn't we? So he goes aside and he's praying. So when Jesus prayed, especially when it was in public, it was for the hearing of those around, and it was in intercession for others. You know, sometimes we get the idea that, we spend too much time in prayer for others. What is Jesus's example? Constantly, wasn't he in prayer for others? But in some of the pastoral circles, they say, you shouldn't spend so much time in prayer for others. Intercessory prayer is extremely important, extremely. You and I are not perfect like Jesus. So there's other things we need to be praying too, isn't there? And we do need to be praying for ourselves, about ourselves, don't we? So he goes aside from the disciples, even though they're there, and he's praying alone with the Father. Folks, use this as an example. You need that alone time prayer. Remember what Jesus said about the prayers of the Pharisees? He said they love to pray where? In public, in front of everyone, so that their prayers would be heard. And they say these wonderful, very elaborate prayers. In fact, they would say these elaborate prayers so eloquently that others would think, "Well, I can't pray because I can't pray like that." You ever see that happen in Christian churches too? Those elaborate, fancy, eloquent prayers, folks, are usually polished. They're usually polished. At least that's my excuse why I don't do them that way, because I don't polish them. But we're to pray from the heart, right? We're to pour out what is inside of us to him. And we're going to come back to what's inside of us in a minute. So he's with the disciples there in verse 18 still. He says, and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" Folks, people say Jesus is a lot of different things, don't they? The disciples, and probably Peter. Peter was the one who opened his mouth the most. And honestly, I won't call that a fault, because somebody needs to speak up, right? Somebody needs to speak up. And when you're wrong, humble yourself before your error and go forward. Peter speaks up and he says, "John the Baptist." They think that you're John the Baptist. In Luke, when it had gotten to Herod, everything that Jesus was doing, Herod said, "Who is this?" And they said, "John the Baptist." He said, "Well, I beheaded John the Baptist." But earlier here in this same chapter, Herod says, "But who is this that's doing these things?" Now, that's the question. Who is he? Well, some say John the Baptist. Peter goes on to say, but others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets of old that has risen. So there's all sorts of things that people say that Jesus is. But we know it's even more than that, right? Because the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, thought that he was of the devil, right? They thought it was the devil casting out the devil. Today, who do people say that Jesus is? You know, some say that Jesus was a good man. Have you ever heard that one? Jesus was a good man. Some say that Jesus was a prophet, a teacher. Some say he was a good moral man. Well, if that was so, then wouldn't what he said be true? If that's what he is, a good moral teacher, wouldn't what he said be true? And he announces that he is the Christ. He lets that be known right here in this text. But people don't want to believe that. He came to the Jews. He came to his own. And what did his own do? They said, no, not all of them, most of them. Every time I rearrange the chairs in here, I think I need a wide enough aisle here, you know, for people to be able to talk in the time of handshaking, or someone in a wheelchair can come in, that sort of thing. But sometimes I want to make it a narrow aisle, because the wide aisle, the wide path, the wide road, the wide door, the wide gate leads to destruction. But it's the narrow one that leads to life, right? People think he's all sorts of things. There are those who believe that he was not born a God, but because he lived a perfect life, he became a God. There are those who believe he is the brother of Satan. There are those who believe that he is all sorts of other things. There are those who believe in Jesus, but it isn't Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Messiah. It is not the Christ of God. It is a Jesus that they have made up because they do not like the real, true, living God. Why have they made it up? Why don't they like the true and living God? Because he takes and he gives, and it is his will and not man's will, and man wants his own way. Have you ever changed the diaper of a baby who did not want its diaper changed or did not want put back into that diaper? Have you ever dealt with a strong-willed child, a strong-willed husband, strong-willed wife, strong-willed boyfriend, girlfriend? Have you ever dealt with someone who is just strong-willed? That's what they are who do not want the true and living God. They have their own will. On Wednesdays, as we are studying through Willing to Believe with R.C. Sproul, we're learning about the free will of man. And one of the most important things that we have learned about the free will of man is that it exists and it is without liberty, that our will was not removed at the fall, but it was put into bondage at the fall. And what was it put in bondage to? To sin. Our will is in bondage to sin. So what we do is we make up a God who will release us from that bondage. And then we convince ourselves that we are free. And so we make him up. We take the true Savior and we start to take pieces of him away and put pieces of something else in. We take him apart and we make a Frankenstein monster out of him. And the Jesus we come away with is sometimes all love. He sends everybody to heaven. The Jesus that we come away with is so syrupy sweet that nobody has to receive any punishment. Everything's beautiful, but that's not him. But then sometimes they go the other way with it too, don't they? The Jesus that they come up with, the Frankenstein Jesus that they come up with is so harsh that every time you sin, he is making up punishments that he's going to give you. That every sin you do is one that is going to bring the house down because you are sinful. And they have a list of all the sins that you have committed. They're keeping track. They're keeping track. When the truth is, Jesus is God. He has always been God. He will always be God. You know, 92% of Americans believe that Jesus lived. That sounds good, doesn't it? Problem is what do they believe about Jesus? 56% of those who believe that Jesus existed believe that he is deity, that he is God. 56%. Do you know what the number amongst evangelicals that believe that is? The same. It is. It is 56%. What happened? When we talk about the Trinity, we're talking about God. Am I wrong? Is that not God? God is the Trinity? And when we talk about the Trinity, we talk about the Father, who is God. We talk about the Son, who is not the Father, but who is God. And we talk about the Spirit, who is not the Son, who is not the Father, but is God. Not three gods, one God. And our head explodes because we can't understand it. But we can believe it. Jesus is God. He is the Holy One, the Chosen One of God. He always was. Let's go back to 101 on who Jesus is. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning with God, all things were made through Him. So some people believe that Jesus is a created being. A created being. He always was, folks. There was nothing created without Him. You do not create yourself. Do we know that, right? And so nothing was created without Him. So He could not be created, because then something would have been created without Him. But it doesn't say Jesus. It says the Word. Let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus, folks. That is Jesus who always was. People say that Jesus is not God. Folks, what's really funny is it's right there, isn't it? It's right there. If you have a Bible in front of you, put your hands over your eyes and read the first line. Doesn't work, does it? Why can't they see? Because it's not for them to see at this time, if ever, because of who He is. So they come up with their own God, one that's not God, one that is God, one that's become God. I mean, they have all sorts of things. We could spend the next several weeks going over all the different gods and not even scratch the surface on who people say Jesus is. So Jesus listens to them as they talk about all these different people. Then Jesus turns to them. And this is the most important question that He ever gave to His disciples. This is the most important question that will ever come to you. But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, Peter jumps right out. The Christ of God. The Messiah. The one we have been waiting for. The Holy One of God. The one who was from the beginning. And the list goes on and on of the true names of Him. In Luke 4, the demon, the man with the demon, he calls Jesus the Holy One of God. You see, though man is the pinnacle of God's creation in the fact that He has put His love on man like He has nothing else, even though that is the case, the demons understand who He is better than we do. You say, why is that? Where'd the demons come from? They came from heaven, didn't they? They're fallen angels. Look what James 2, verse 19 says. We use this often because it's important. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You believe in God, so do the demons. So do the devils, depending on what version you have. I think for sure the King James calls it the devils. I'm not sure what other versions do, but I know there are because I've seen it. Even the devils believe in Him. Surely there's a difference between what the devils believe and what we believe for us to be saved, isn't there? Who do you say I am? Ask yourself this question. Who do you say He is? Do you say He is your Savior? Do you say He is my Master? Do you say He is my Lord? Do you act like it? Is the next question. Does anyone here brush their teeth? Have you ever squeezed a tube of toothpaste and squeezed it too hard? What happened? Too much comes out. Too much what? You squeeze a toothpaste tube and too much toothpaste comes out. What's the easiest way to put it back in? You can't put it back in, can you? Once it's out, it's out. And what comes out is what's inside, isn't it? What we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, is what comes out when we're squeezed. What comes out when we're squeezed? I'm not suggesting that you won't sin. If you love Jesus, if that's what you believe, that He is the Christ of God, and you love Jesus, you love God, then what comes out? What do people see? Do they see when you're squeezed, your love for Him come out? Or do they see your love for you? Do they see your love for this world come out? Scripture says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And what is it that renews our mind? The Word of God. He Himself. Sanctification is a lifetime process. And no matter how old you are when you die, your sanctification will be at the point that He would have it be at when He calls you home, period. And then we have all of eternity to continue to learn and know Him even closer. But who is He to you? You know, some people see Him as so harsh that they can't even say His name. You know, they say that about God, that He was so harsh. You know, in the Old Testament, when they would go to copy the scriptures. There was all this ceremonial cleaning that they had to do. And when they'd get to his name, they would have to get a fresh pen and they'd have to go through all this cleansing again. And there were so many things that they had to do. And they wouldn't even say the name of God because they did not have the relationship through Jesus Christ with him. And there was a separation. There was a veil between man and God. But Jesus Christ replaced the veil because he is God. So what do you believe about Jesus? Who is he? If you are a single person and you see a boy or a girl that you're interested in, what do you do? John smiling. What do you do? You begin to pursue, to learn, to know, to grow in your understanding of who that person is. And as you do that, not only does it build your love, but it brings you closer together with that person because of your care and concern. God has already pursued you. If you are his, he has pursued you. The scriptures also make something else clear, that the day for us to surrender to him is now. Because the day that it is no longer going to be an opportunity or an option is at hand. Well, how do we do that? Let's go back to the question. Who do you say that he is? If he is your Lord, if he is your God, then you surrender to him. But you know how this world uses Jesus? There's TV shows that we refuse to watch, and they put him on those shows. One of those disgusting cartoon shows is called South Park, and they have their own Jesus on. They do. But their Jesus is a different Jesus. I'm not asking you what you're going to do with the Jesuses of this world. I'm asking you, what are you going to do with the true and living God? I'm asking you, coming face to face with your Creator, what are you going to do? There's going to come a day when every person, people try to tell me, oh, not Christian. Yes, every person is going to stand before God and give an accounting. Every person. And as we give that account, it's not going to be pretty for any of us. I'm sorry. I think some of you are pretty good, but you're not going to find it pretty. And as we give that account, there's no longer going to be the question of who do you say I am? It's going to be, who was I? Because that decision is already made at that time, right? It's done. You will not change. When the scriptures say that the day is coming that every knee will bow and every tongue confess, it's talking about the lost and the saved. It's talking about those who go to heaven and those who go to hell. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some will do it in agony of hell, but they will still confess. And there won't be any doubt left in their minds as to who he is. Someone tells me that this person or that person went to heaven without believing. And I'll tell them no, but they believe now. But there's nothing they can do about it. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Is he your Savior? And if he is, again I ask, are you showing it? And if he isn't, what are you going to do about it? The scripture said that he will not turn anyone away who seeks him. Is that true? It is true, isn't it? He will not turn anyone away who seeks him. But then Romans tells us that no one's going to seek him. But yet somebody's going to seek him. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anyone for him not to turn away. Right? So how do the two work together? Well, the two work together because God enacts a regeneration in you to bring you forth to seek after him. And when you seek after him, it's because of him. And you better surrender. If you're seeking him for any of your own reasons, stop. Get on your face and turn. You know, the hardest thing to do is to spend time in prayer with somebody in that position. A man one time came to me and needed prayer, and he had the time to do this. He came to me on a Wednesday morning when I was doing coffee time. And so when we were done with the coffee time, he and I went to my office and we got our faces on the floor and we prayed. Sometimes out loud and sometimes we were just silent. An hour went by. 2 hours went by. 3 hours went by. And I don't know how long. But at some point, God broke him. And he stood up from those prayers belonging to God. And I'm not here to tell you that that is the method, because there's not a method. God got me driving down the highway. But what I'm telling you is, you lay yourself out before him. Every one of you and I deserve hell. We've lived that way. We deserve that. That's exactly what all of us deserve. None of us deserve anything good from God. Not one of us. If we were to stand before him right now and he asked us why we should come in, the only thing we can say is Jesus Christ. Because everything else is filthy rags. Everything. Even the demons believe. to you? Have you given yourself to him? I like the way Matthew puts his response. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mark says, you are the Christ. How do they say it? What sayest you? What sayest you today? Are you scoffing at him? When it comes to Jesus, and we'll be bringing this to a close here very quickly. When it comes to Jesus, there is no in between. In Revelation, in the letter, he says, you are neither hot nor cold, so I will spit you out of my mouth. Neither hot nor cold. You see, it's not a matter of if you are serving him and doing good works. It's a matter of what motivates those works. And if those works are motivated by the wrong motivation, please get on your face before God. I don't care if it takes a day. Spend that day on the floor. Spend that day bent over the couch in prayer on your knees. Spend that day looking to heaven that you too would be saved. And when he has done his work, stand up and follow him. What's that song say? Where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, I will follow. Will you follow him no matter where he leads? No matter who does or doesn't come with you, will you follow? It's not always easy. It's right and it's best. Please stand with me. Oh, Lord. Father, I have people I love right here in this room who do not know you. Father, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day, Lord, when they say this world has no value to them anymore and you are everything. And then, Lord, let them go forth and show what is inside by following you in their jobs, in their school, wherever they are. Oh, Father, there's also those who are here who profess to know you and yet are far from you. They have no desire to serve you, no desire to completely surrender all to you. You have said that either we love you with everything we are or we love you with nothing. Oh, Lord, let them love you with everything, everything. And then there's those, Lord, who love you and follow you with all that they have. Encourage them today that this world around them is dark and dying, and that your light needs to shine through them even brighter. And I give you the glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
There is truly no more important question than this one. Who do you say Jesus is? It's the core of our relationship with him, for if we make him other than what he is, we'll find that we've placed our trust in a made-up thing which cannot save us. Beloved, I beg you, do not allow the day of judgment to be the first time you ever meet the Jesus of the Bible, because it will be Jesus Christ the King who is upon that throne. And to those who have been outside of Christ, they will hear the condemnation of the Lord. Depart from me, I never knew you. What more tragic and heart-rending sound could there ever be? To be sent away and cast into the torment reserved for the devil and his angels. May it not be for any of you. Turn to him right now. Cast yourself at the feet of God in Christ and ride the scarlet thread of his blood-bought mercy to your home in his presence forever. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counselor guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of his word.